Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
John Cooper, our last guide to the NFL draft, and that is this week, which means the month of April is winding down. He joins us with Craig and Paul, David Smoke on 365 Sports. So, John, I kind of watched the chatter. If anyone's talking right now, are there any rumors right now? Is that usually like people setting up speculation on purpose, or some of these quarterbacks going up and down, sliding higher or lower? Is this just what?
Well, I don't understand why the quarterbacks, you know, that would be, unless they're trying to entice somebody to draft up or trade up to get one of those guys. That's the only thing I can figure. Those rumors are out there for sure. I mean, Bill Tobin, the late Bill Tobin, a great man. I want to mention him as a really great GM. Used to tell me, hey, listen to everything, but only about a third of it's accurate, and you don't know which the third is. So believe it. Listen to it, but don't believe it. So it's kind of a double negative there, but that's what he used to say. I always laughed about that. But anyway, the quarterbacks, I think the rumor I'm hearing, and I think it's a rumor, Jaden Daniels not going to the Redskins. You know, I just think that would be a real surprise. He's such a good fit for the offense. I know Daniels' agent supposedly was not happy with the visit, and you know, I don't know how much weight that would hold. But that's one of the rumors we're hearing. We're also hearing the Patriots trading out of that pick to who wants a quarterback there at three. And the Cardinals, they're open for business from what we understand. And there's, you know, talk of Minnesota trading into that pick. There's even talk of the Giants trading up for a quarterback. So there's a lot of rumors out there.
John, how many quarterbacks do you expect to go in the top five?
Well, the money says four, and I think that's accurate. I think it's very likely that four quarterbacks will go there. I think the Cardinals are going to trade down, but unless somebody wants to get Marvin Harrison Jr. at that pick, you know, I think that'll be a quarterback there too, and I think it's going to be the highest bidder that wants to get him, unless the Jets are, or not, or the Patriots are in that bidding war too, moving down.
John, just outside of you know, how they're used, stylistically, all that, what do you feel is the biggest differences or separation between a Marvin Harrison Jr. and a Roma Dunze, or even you know, some of the other top wide receivers out there, like a Neighbors?
Well, the way I see it, you know, there's not much difference between all three of those guys. I mean, the big difference there between Neighbors and Harrison and Dunze is size. You know, Harrison has that ideal size, that ideal catch radius, and, you know, he's got the best numbers of those guys in terms of those things, being able to go up and get the ball taken away from a receiver, also a great route runner. Malik Neighbors has great speed, not quite as big, but he's also a great route runner, and he's a guy that can make adjustments in a real short space. And Adunze is a big receiver, too. He's got good size, not quite as big as Harrison. He got the same kind of speed that Harrison has. You know, the length might not quite be as good, but very, very similar. So there's not that much difference between the three receivers. I think all three of them are top 10 picks. But that said, I think Harrison's the best. I still do. I think he can go up and get the ball. He's got such playmaking tools. But, they're all good. Somebody's going to get a great receiver with one of those three.
Quarterbacks and wide receiver. Who will be, in your opinion, or who do you have as the best defensive player on the board?
You know, it goes back and forth. I mean, right now we've got Jared Verse as the top player going, but you know, it's really close after that. I mean, a part of me thinks Latua is the best guy, but there's that red flag with the injury that some teams are not going to be wanting to take a guy that high who's got that history. I think if without that history, I think he would be the top guy, although it would be close. You know, then the cornerback, Terrion Arnold, I guess we might have him a little higher than Verse now that I think of it. He's got great speed, great ball skills. You know, he's a very solid football player. So, you know, those would be the top guys in our minds right now. You know, those couple of three edge rushers there, Chop Robinson or Dallas Turner, would be up there. You know, those guys we think are pretty good players. But the defense is not as good as the offense this year. I think you'll see a lot more offensive players drafted in the first round than you will defensive players this year.
How far do you think we go before we see Brock Bowers? And is it not necessarily a Brock Bowers issue as it is just tight ends in the first round is not necessarily a surefire of value?
You know, I don't think he's going to go much beyond 10, 11, 12. You know, he's just too much of a talent. But I could be wrong on that one. At one point, we thought the Chargers would take him at 5. You know, we're not seeing that now. The Bears, we're up here in the Midwest, and the Bears, there's rumors that the Bears would take him if they can't get the right guy that they want, you know, whether it's a defensive player or getting the right receiver. So that'll be interesting because I know one of the things that we're hearing about the Bears is they want to really upgrade their receiver room, whether it's a tight end. They've got a good one in Komet. I would be surprised. But Bowers is a talent, and he does some things that even some receivers don't do. So, you know, I don't see him falling that far.
John, a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, Tavondre Sweat of Texas, the big defensive lineman, gets arrested, DWI. Just sort of where did you peg him initially, and does that what kind of questions do you think that raises, and what kind of effect, if any, do you think that has on his draft stock?
Well, you know, we have a first-round grade on him late first round. And, you know, we've seen those things happen before, and they haven't really had that much of an effect. I think what's going to have a bigger effect is how the teams look at him in terms of what kind of character does he have overall. You know, they're going to do a lot of investigative work. They've got a security report that comes out about now, and that will tell the tale. I mean, if this is a one-off incident, it's probably not going to be a big deal. But if it's something that's part of his character, he does things like that all the time, maybe gets away with it, not out in the open. You know, the NFL has ways of finding those things out. So that will hurt him, you know, if that's the case. And I think there's a chance, I'm hearing some things, that he's not in the greatest condition all the time. And, you know, that But again, those are rumors, and so you got to be careful of that kind of speculation. But he could slide a little bit.
How much money will that cost him, John? Millions?
Well, yeah, it would be in the ballpark of probably, if you look at the length of the contract, if you didn't get a first-round pick, it's going to be in that million ballpark for sure, especially with, you know, different ways of, you know, pretty much there's a salary schedule that they're kind of they're working with now. So, you know, I'm not sure just how bad that's going to actually be. But nevertheless, if you're not a first-round pick, it does change things in terms of the amount of money over the length of your contract.
John Cooper with us, Our Lad Scouting Service to the NFL Draft.
John, Kansas City picks at 32. Rashee Rice is likely to be suspended for his role, in the whatever drag racing thing that happened. While that probably won't be the full season, he's going to be out a chunk. They already needed to address wide receiver, even beyond Hollywood Brown. Do you see that address that being addressed at 32, or is that something because of the depth of the wide receiver position that they might be able to address later?
Well, it depends. We're kind of seeing in our mind there's maybe 25 bona fide first-round picks, and after that it's going to be a lot of best player available, a position of need. So I think they could go receiver. They could go offensive tackle, too. I think there's a need there. They have to think of the future. I think they will look to pick up a receiver. You know, they want to make sure that receiver room is solid.
John, with it being, today is Tuesday, Monday, what happens within the draft rooms or meetings? How much actually changes between now and Thursday? And, of course, changes based on how the draft starts to go. But what is done right now? What are they doing?
Well, one of the things they're doing, you know, typically in my experience, is that the scouts are still meeting. And they're going to meet all the way, you know, through the next 2 or 3 days. And then they're going to give them some time off because they're going to be grinding throughout the draft day. You know, in fact, I can remember – and I talked to some of the Cardinal scouts years ago. They would go out and play golf on the day before the draft as a group. And so they would kind of take that day off. Powers that be would be pouring over the security reports, the medical reports, some of the last minute stuff that's coming in. And then they do mock drafts. They do what the fans do. They do their own mock drafts, you know, with a little bit better knowledge than we all have, but their mock drafts can be to see where, when the time comes for us to make our pick, what could happen. And so they try to create as many of these scenarios beforehand so they're prepared for them. If a player that they expect to be there is not, or somebody trades up to get somebody that's not. So, you know, they're trying to prepare for all that. They have pods of players that they would take at a certain pick. And if none of those guys are there, then they've got to be prepared to trade down, trade up, you know, whatever it is. If it looks like our guy's not going to be there, then they have to be ready for that. So they're kind of role-playing at this point in time, those kinds of scenarios. That's something that the scouting staff all do. And I remember when I was first with Our Lads years and years ago, I would get a couple of scouts would call me, you know, help me on this mock draft because we did all these mock drafts. In fact, Our Lads used to do the mock drafts for the Eagles.
Yep.
We're talking 30, 40 years ago. But that's a big thing going on now.
So what would a reality show be like if they – and I know they have the war rooms and now everybody seems to have a picture. Some teams even more so want access to be seen. And everyone acts like that's exactly who they want, kind of like on National Signing Day for high school and college. We got everybody we wanted when we know that's not true. What would a reality show be like if they could put a mic on – inside the war room when somebody's pulled out from underneath the team that is expected to draft him?
Without naming the team, I was in contact with a good friend of mine that was a coach in a team, and they had five guys pegged for one pick, and if one of those five's not there, they were scrambling, and all of a sudden somebody traded up right now to get that player, the last guy on the board, and they were going crazy. You know, it was just like it was a scramble. It was a third or fourth round pick, and they ended up taking a player that was just flat out the best player on their board, whereas they really wanted to take, I think the position was corner at that point. So there's some scrambling that goes on, more so I think in the later rounds, you know, when you have, you know, pegged certain players that you would take there, and all of a sudden they're not there. Trading down is what you want to do, and then all of a sudden nobody wants to trade with you. Then what are you going to do? And that happens now because, wait a minute. We got 3 minutes left. There's nobody we want. Call up this guy. Call up Joe on the phone. See if he'll trade with us. No, I'm not trading. We don't want to move. We don't want to give anything up to get to that spot.
So then you
got problems.
What about if somebody you didn't expect to be available, especially in the first round, maybe in the second round, when somebody that's highly ranked and thought of, all of a sudden you have all of what you think is what you're going to do, and then some alpha name starts to fall your way? How much scrambling happens with that?
Well, I think in that case, most of the teams are prepared for those kinds of things. And, let's say a guy is a secondary or maybe even a third or fourth need, but they could use a guy on that caliber of player. They'll typically take them. But if they definitely, feel with position of need, like a quarterback that slips down to, say, 15, that you expected to be at the fifth pick in the draft, but you've got your quarterback under contract and a backup, you're not going to take it. But I'll give you an example. When the Ravens took Kyle Hamilton, I don't think they thought Kyle Hamilton was going to be sitting there at 14. And I think they pivoted to Kyle Hamilton because of that. And it worked out very well because he's been a great Swiss Army knife for them. And even though they had, two starting safeties under contract at the time.
John, if you were the Cowboys at 24, would you trade back given the fact they don't have very many picks?
Well, it depends. I think if they feel that, this draft as far as first round talent goes down to 25 and they feel one of those guys is going to be there, I think I'd take that guy. Other than that, yes, I would trade back. You might see a team in this year's draft, which normally, wouldn't trade up, might look to do that if there's a certain player three or four picks ahead that they want to make sure they get and somebody else doesn't get, as long as they don't have to give up too much. I could see that happening too.
How much did Will McClay help stable, even though they have issues with the cap right now because of some of the big names and they still have a lot to get done? It seems like Will McClay getting involved stabilized who they were on draft day or weekend. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they've done a nice job, really, overall. I can't complain, there.
John Cooper with us, Our Lad's Scouting Service, Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft. Is there any way four of the first five picks will be quarterbacks? If that's not the case, what happened?
Well, I think it depends on, I think who's there. And let's say one team, the first two quarterbacks are gone, and the teams that might be wanting to trade up don't like those guys, although I think that's not going to be the case. But I think Marvin Harrison Jr., to me, is possibly the best player in this draft. And again, there's a lot of rumors saying, no, we like Malik Nabers better. And, I don't see that. So I think that he could be pretty well coveted, although there's these other receivers there. I think a guy like that would go. I don't see anybody else in that top four right now other than him as a possibility. Or maybe if somebody really likes Nabers as the best guy.
Last thing.
I just don't see that.
Yeah, how did McCarthy start surging up the boards? What happened with that?
Well, I think a lot of people like him and have liked him all along. I think, he's got some athletic ability. He's got a strong arm. He really has all the tools that you want. He's got some intangibles that are very solid. The thing is that in some ways that's good, in some ways that's bad. He was driving a Cadillac at Michigan, and he didn't have to win the game. He didn't have to do what Caleb Williams has had to do or Jaden Daniels. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but you just don't know. But if you really watch the tape, yeah, he's got some holes, but maybe he doesn't have as many holes as some of the other guys have. There's some things that the other guys do that are so spectacular. But yet, if you really look, there's a couple of things here, a mechanical issue here, and so on down the line. McCarthy maybe didn't have the opportunity to show those holes. The only thing I can think of is he didn't layer the ball real well. He throws on one plane. But other than that, he's done everything Michigan asked him to do in that offense. And when he needed to make a play, he could make a play, whether it was, off platform. He could do that. So I think that's where that is coming from. I think teams are wanting a quarterback. They want a solid guy that they feel can develop into a solid quarterback. And then the right team, I think he could be very good with. We still have him as kind of a mid-first-round guy, but yet we also understand that quarterbacks get pushed way up. And so we can see him going in that top four.
John, as always, thank you very much for your knowledge, insight, experiences. John Cooper with us on the NFL Draft coming up Thursday night.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.